Well, good morning again to you here and on the live stream this morning. Well, have you looked outside recently and seen, if you look out that window, you can see those, steel fronts, where the front of the new building's going to be. I had a quick look this morning, the concrete base is there, there's bricks beginning to take shapes, and hopefully we're going to be opening, or it'll be finished in October. And it's really exciting, isn't it? I hope you are excited as we think about the opportunities that the new centre and the changes to our building, new entrance and so on, are going to provide for us in 2022 and beyond. And I hope that you're praying and thinking about how you are going to be part of whatever we do going on from today. Well, the building work started, of course, with laying the foundations. And those foundations, they need to be right. Because, it needs to ensure the integrity of the rest of the building. What we don't want in a couple of years' time is our staff sitting in the office thinking that they're in the Leaning Tower of Pisa or something. You just imagine all their chairs sliding across to the side. We want the space, we want the facilities on firm foundation. And of course they are. Peter's told me they are, so it's all right. Well, our Bible reading today from 1 Corinthians is part of a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the Christian community in Corinth in Greece, a church that Paul had established about 5 years earlier. And he'd received worrying reports about how their building project was going. Now, he knew the foundations were right because he'd laid them personally when he was there. But he was concerned as to how the superstructure was developing and how the building was being used. Paul, though, wasn't talking about a physical building like our new centre or like this church building. At the end of verse 9, Paul says, you, he's talking to the Corinthians as a church, you are God's building. You, the Christians in Corinth, are God's building. They are God's spiritual building because they're followers of Jesus. They're God's church. And in verse 16, he sort of emphasises that spiritual building is actually God's temple. He says, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's spirit lives amongst you? He's talking as you, the plural, being the temple, God's temple. Well, what does he mean when he says that? Well, Paul's bringing back to mind how God's presence was known to be in the building of the actual temple in Jerusalem, the grand building in Jerusalem, in the inner sanctuary called the Holy of Holies. But Paul's emphasising now that as a community of Christians, God lives in them by his Holy Spirit. So together, they are God's dwelling place. They are God's temple. And Paul says because they're God's temple, the life of the Corinthian church should be one of worship and holiness and love, reflecting their belief and their trust in Jesus and being led by the Holy Spirit. But their community, says Paul, is distinctive for all the wrong reasons. It's standing out as a place of rivalries and arguments and disorder. It's not a place of beauty. In fact, it's a bit of an eyesore. And Paul will address a whole range of specific issues throughout the letter. But in our reading, he concentrates on some core building blocks which are crucial to every church, including, of course, us here at St. Patrick's. Because as this community of Christians here, we are God's temple. Now, by God's grace, we're not like that church in Corinth. You see the wonderful three leaders that we had up here earlier. But we easily could be if we were to loosen our grip on the gospel truth of Jesus and allow the lies and the pressures and the idols of the world to engulf us, to absorb us. So, as David said at the beginning of the service, at the start of this new year, and as we anticipate the new facilities coming online, and as we continue to restart and reboot post-COVID, this is a really good moment for us to consider, maybe for the first time, or to be reminded of three essentials of being God's building. And we're going to look at what Paul says under three headings this morning. Build down wisely, build up carefully, and build out together. So build down wisely, which is about building down, no surprise. Talking about laying the foundations. With our new centre, as with any building, we need to be wise about the foundations, as I said earlier. They need to be reliable to avoid structural problems later. When it comes to laying the foundations of a church community, There's only one wise and true, reliable foundation, and that's the Lord Jesus. In verse 10, Paul, looking back to when he was with the Corinthian Christians, he says that he laid the foundation of the church in Corinth as a wise builder. And in verse 11, he says that foundation was Jesus Christ. And he says that laying the foundation of Jesus is wise because, as he'd said earlier in the letter, it's God's wisdom. It was by God's wisdom that salvation through Jesus is offered as a free gift to us. Even though that wisdom, God's perfect wisdom, is seen by many as foolish, something they cannot or will not believe. Paul says that when he came to Corinth, he laid the foundation of their church by preaching only about Jesus Christ. The foundation of Jesus Christ. Or as he puts it in chapter 1, a couple of different ways, he says the message of the cross. Or he says Christ crucified. Three different shorthands that Paul uses for the good news of Jesus, the gospel of Jesus, the foundation of Jesus. And in our passage, Paul doesn't expand on that today. But we can't talk about the foundation without being hearing it, either for the first time or again. So it's my privilege to share the gospel with you this morning. However good or however bad we think we are, we're all the same. We are all sinners. We've all rebelled against God. We've all pushed him away because we want to run our lives in the way that suits us best. And that leaves us in a desperate place because although God created us to be in a relationship with him, a personal, eternal relationship with him, he's holy. And he cannot have sin and rebellion in his presence. So we deserve his holy judgment, all of us. We all deserve the penalty of death, eternal destruction, eternal separation from God. We call it hell. But because of God's amazing love for us, his amazing love for the human race that he created, God has made a way for us to be saved from that judgment. God himself, in the person of Jesus, came to earth as the baby that we've been celebrating across over the Christmas time. And he lived a perfect life on earth. And he gave up that perfect life as the perfect sacrifice. The perfect sacrifice that was demanded by God as the penalty that you and I deserve for our rebellion. That sacrifice of Jesus was nailed to a cross. Jesus was executed by crucifixion. Jesus died on the cross, taking the full weight of our sin on himself. Everything you've ever done and will do wrong, and the same for me. He paid the full cost of our rebellion so that we could be forgiven. It happened as Jesus said it would, as we heard in our reading from Matthew's Gospel. He was crucified for us. But also, as Jesus said would happen, 3 days later, God raised him back to life by the power of God's Holy Spirit, confirming that Jesus' death for us on the cross was all sufficient. By his resurrection, God had accepted that once and for all payment for our rebellion, Jesus' death on the cross. Jesus had saved us. Jesus had rescued us. And he offers that rescue to all of us as a free gift. Now, how do we make that rescue personal for us individually? By stepping out in faith, by believing and trusting in Jesus, by saying to Jesus, yes, I believe that your death and resurrection has rescued me back into that wonderful, eternal, perfect personal relationship with God my Father. By saying that, I'm truly sorry, Jesus, for my rebellion and asking for his forgiveness. By saying that, I want to turn away from the way I've been. I don't want to rule my life anymore. I want to commit my life to you, Jesus. I want you as my King for the rest of my life. A life in Jesus that is now eternal, where God lives in us by his Holy Spirit, and every day we become more like Jesus. until the day that Jesus returns. In our passage, it's called the day. The day that when Jesus returns, when he will judge all of us, and those who have put their faith in him, he will say, come with me forever in my presence, where everything is perfect and there's everything is just pure joy. This is the gospel. This is the foundation of Jesus. And it is the best and it is the most important news that you will ever hear in your life. It's the best and it's the most important news that you will ever hear. If you're here in this church building today, if you're on the live stream today, if you're watching a recording or listening to a recording, you're not a Christian, you know, you are so welcome to be amongst us. We love you being here. But being amongst us is not enough. You have to make a personal decision to accept Jesus for yourself if you want him to rescue you from hell. Maybe you want to do that right now. Maybe you want to commit to Jesus today. Maybe you're here or listening for the first time. Maybe you've been coming to St. Patrick's for years and you've just realized you've never really committed your life wholeheartedly to Jesus. Well, I'll pray in a minute and you can do that. And then maybe after the service, come and see me or make contact with me or David through the church office if you're not here. If you are a Christian here, as I pray, why don't you thank God for being a Christian, that he saved you, he's rescued you, and ask him to just remind you of the wonder of knowing the Lord Jesus and being rescued from hell and rescued for an eternal relationship with him. Let me pray before I carry on. Lord Jesus, for those, Lord, who have just said they want to follow you, would you make your presence known to them now? And would you give them the confidence to come and speak to me or David or make contact with the church so that we can help them on the next steps of knowing you better? And for all of us, Lord, who are Christians already, we thank you. And we pray that you would just light all the burners in our heart, that we would live for you wholeheartedly, that we would know you better, that we would glorify you in our lives. Amen. Well, in his letter, Paul was reminding the Corinthians of this foundational truth of the gospel. But amongst a whole load of other things, they were just arguing about who was the best leader instead of focusing on Jesus. And it meant that they were in a mess and they weren't doing the things that really, really mattered. And so we must continue to pray for David, our preachers, our teachers, for all of us, that we will be witness to the wise and true foundation of Jesus and keep building down wisely. Secondly, build up carefully. Well, Paul's letter makes clear that as well as the distraction of what type of leader might be best, he had concerns about what was being built up on the foundation of Jesus that he had laid down. And we don't need to go into all the details of what was going wrong, but the rest of the letter makes clear that the teaching, the activities, their attitudes, the behaviour, they're all going astray. Everything was a bit of a mess. And so Paul says in verse 10, each one should build on that foundation of Jesus. Each one should build with care, building up carefully. And as we continue to build the centre and we join it to the church and we build the new entrance to the church, all this needs to be consistent with the foundations. Nothing should be built that undermines the foundations in any way. And so too for us here at St. Patrick's, as we build on the foundation of the gospel of Jesus, we need to take care that all of our activities and how we carry them out are always consistent with the foundation of Jesus Christ. This building up carefully is not just for David and the wardens and the staff and the PCC. It's for every one of us who is a Christian here in God's temple at St. Patrick's. It's to mean that all that we do remains Jesus-centered and reflects our faith in our commitment to Jesus, demonstrates our love for him and for others, as Paul emphasizes throughout the rest of the letter. And as we do that, as we build up, we should encourage and enable each of us to know and worship the true and living God more and more through Jesus, our rescuer, our only hope. Paul says that we should be careful how we do that, how we go about being God's temple, because in verses 12 to 15 he tells us on that day that when Jesus returns, Jesus is going to judge us for what we do and how we did it. And Paul uses the imagery of fire testing the quality of materials. The precious stones will survive the fire, and the wood and the hay and the straw and that sort of stuff is going to get burned up. So Paul warns us to be careful that what we do and how we do it are fire-resistant quality of eternal value to the Lord Jesus. I think there's two sort of overall points. One is proclaiming the gospel, and the other is a matter of our hearts. When I'm proclaiming the gospel, and in fact it was great to hear Anna pray this, I think, you know, by God's grace, our ministries will always be distinctive because they're Christ-centered and full of love. But in whatever we do, we must always provide, whatever our activities it is, from lunch club to the Sunday groups to TGIs to Cameo to everything we do, we must provide an opportunity for the people we meet and serve to hear the most important thing, the most important news, the best news. They need Jesus in their lives. Otherwise, we're no different from anything else, are we? And then the matter of the heart, are we serving in love with joy wholeheartedly for Jesus as we do those things? Are we each of us, are we contributing our gifts and our skills and the experiences that God has given us for his work here in the local church of St. Patrick's? Are our motivations for Jesus to give him glory in response to what he's done for us, pointing others to him? Does our labour for God avoid the worldly pressures to succeed, to look good, to have a particular style, whatever? If we fail to proclaim the true gospel, or our labour and our motivations haven't been Christ-centred, then our work will be burned up. We'll have nothing to show. There'll be no reward of well done from Jesus when he returns. Whereas wholehearted, faithful, Christ-centered labour, however successful or unsuccessful it might look in worldly eyes, will pass Jesus' quality testing and we'll receive a well done, a reward from him. We need to build up carefully. But verse 15, Paul helpfully emphasises that when we get it wrong in this respect, it's not a matter of our rescue, it's not a matter of salvation. Our personal faith, our personal commitment to Jesus is forever. We have that certainty. But it is a reminder, Paul, it's a really hard reminder as well, isn't it? It's a reminder of what God expects us when we submit to Jesus. And we've been emphasising that in our last sermon series, if you remember, about work in Colossians 3, where it says that whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for Jesus. So build up carefully. And then lastly, build out together. And build out means growth, but I wanted to stick with three build headings, so you'll have to stick with that. Build out together. When our centre forward project building is complete, our prayer is that we will use the facilities, the resource, to continue on with God's continuing work here at St. Patrick's to make disciples and to grow disciples for Jesus through whatever takes place in our buildings and out from our buildings. And just as we will have worked and prayed and given financially together to complete the project, we will need to continue to work together over the years ahead as we build out to fulfill what God has planned for us. At the beginning of our reading in verses 5 to 8, where Paul's been discussing those internal quarrels about leaders, he emphasises that we are all fellow workers in God's service if we've committed our lives to Jesus. He says in verse 5 that we're all servants. serving what God has prepared, if you like. Serving, doing what has been assigned to us by God. Here at St. Patrick's, you know, some will be gifted to do practical work to enable activities to happen, and others will be called to contribute to those activities and begin to sow seeds of the gospel, of the good news of Jesus. And others will be called to teach and preach and to grow those seeds, and hopefully people to come to know Jesus, and then further teaching to grow us to become more mature Christians, which was the main problem with Corinth. They just hadn't grown. They hadn't committed and submitted to the teaching of Jesus continuously. Others, and we know that some of those amongst us, will be encouragers and prayers and so on. It's not a competition as to who does what, because as Paul emphasised it in verse 7, only God makes things grow. It's only in his strength and power we are totally dependent on him. But we are called, all of us, to contribute to the work of God's temple here. We build out together in partnership with each other, dependent on God. That's how the gospel works. So what does all this mean as we build our new centre? Well, I think it means the same as it did, I don't know, 110 years ago when St. Patrick's was first planted here. It means serving God together as fellow workers, dependent on him alone, as we live and preach the gospel, the foundation, the good news of Jesus Christ. So let's continue to build down wisely, to build up carefully, and to build out together. Amen.